Good morning. This is Denise Morris for the Old Mill Variety Hour, and I'm here with Victoria Saucedo. We're having a movie review date night, and as the pandemic has pretty much put a hold on the magic and shine of live radio, we are recording. And this is a Thursday night date night. It's not even a Friday night date night.
It's a Thursday night date night, but yeah. We're pretending it's Monday morning.
We are. Just like we're about to pretend that zombies can actually
exist they're real.
And kill mass numbers of people just like a pandemic. And so here we are. Is this the second in a series of reviews we're doing on dystopic kinds of visions of mass depopulation?
This is following our review of Animal Farm. We're going to follow this up with other reviews, The Handmaid's Tale, Children of Men. So stay tuned, everyone.
There's no time like the present to revisit all of the most depressing and slightly hopeful films that we know and love. And that is what we're doing these days, is watching a lot of films. So why not?
And a lot of people, I think, are doing what we're doing. Not only are you watching, consuming, for lack of a better word, new films, you're maybe also revisiting some that you've seen before that have new resonance given the current pandemic. And why not? Why not look at zombies taking over the world? Or trying.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, Victoria, I want to kind of give you away a little bit, because if there's anything that happens in our home, it's movies. We
Correct.
Watch a lot of movies. And one of us really likes to watch movies while doing other things. So World War Z, both the book and the film, have been kind of in your favorites for a while.
Correct. And they're in my rotation.
They're
so
in your rotation, yeah. Your rotation also includes things like Iron Man.
Absolutely.
Just let's give our listeners a little taste of, where you're coming from on this.
Yeah, I have a running joke that, I've got the favorites, like many people. I'm a Marvel movies fan. Not necessarily the comics, just the movies, unfortunately. Star Trek, Star Wars. So give me a good movie, good franchise. I'm in it to win it.
If things blow up, you're there.
If things blow up, I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot of horror happens in our home.
No.
Even though I'm very interested in it. We don't watch a lot of it.
We don't watch a lot of horror. I don't. To just keep dropping more pop culture references, say American Horror Stories on the TV. I am nowhere to be found.
Now, that's up my alley. But for our purposes today, again, we were planning to talk about World War Z, the film and the book. And this is really in your zone. I've been sort of a lazy follower on this track. I've seen the film many, many times.
Sort of. I've
been present for the film many times.
While I'm watching the film many times. Yeah. And I've read the book many times.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the purpose of watching films over and over again. That way I don't have to really pay attention throughout the whole thing. I can always go back. This is the beauty of streaming.
It's the beauty of streaming. And also, I'm a firm believer that there's often new things to mine in any old favorite. Anything that you return to, given whatever circumstances are happening to you right then in that moment, you could mine something totally fresh out of a movie like World War Z that you might have in your rotation of favorites. But now, again, given the worldwide viral pandemic that's happening, that basically that's what is happening in both the book and the movie, why not rewatch it and take a look at really now how prescient the book is, how scary it is, how on point it is from a sociopolitical standpoint. Some people describe the book as satire. I would not call it satire. I would call it straight up criticism. Very direct, talking about how governments are ineffective, how they're willing to sacrifice the most vulnerable to save whoever they decide to save, and everyone else they leave out, literally.
Interestingly, it would raise, and since I haven't read the book, you'll have to fill us in on this, that when we talk about who's essential and not essential, for the purposes, let's say, of the book World War Z, which is an oral history, versus the film, which is was made in 2013. The book came out in 2009.
The book came out in 2006.
2006, okay. Max Brooks wrote the book and, as you said, had a much more, I think, political motivation. The film doesn't really hold up its end in that sense. It does sort of default to a lot of the kind of Hollywood conventions of having a hero and having it kind of having the story run through the star, Brad Pitt.
Correct.
And, you know,
some
exactly.
People even say that there's like the unnecessary kind of semi interest, romantic interest. The Brad Pitt character, he's married. He has children with his wife, yet he ends up paired with a female soldier who is really integral to the story in the movie, but she does not exist. This person does not exist at all in the book.
Right. There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of that. There.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, probably everything we watch right now, you could say, has that composite character or taking those particular liberties around which characters can exist and can't from book to film. But as an oral history, World War Z has a greater latitude to explore the consequences, the origins, what it means, who gets left behind, who survives.
Correct. And so one of the primary differences between the book and the movie, first, the book is fashioned. It's a very direct homage to Studs Terkel's The Good War. He won a Pulitzer for that in 85, 86, I believe. And it's a very deliberate fashioning off of that. That's considered an oral history, obviously, of World War II. Max Brooks took the ideas behind a worldwide pandemic. Let's see. Let's make it zombies instead of a virus. Although Max Brooks has been quoted as saying that the impetus for the story is actually the SARS outbreak, but he fashioned it instead of a straight up viral outbreak, he fashioned it as a zombie outbreak. So in this, the book itself technically spans 20 years. The zombie war took a full decade, and this book, this oral history of the zombie war, is actually being taken 10 years, 12 years after the end of the zombie war. So the book technically spans a 20-year period. The movie spans a matter of days, weeks.
Right,
it's,
yeah.
It's
they
completely different.
They saved the world really fast.
They saved the world very quickly.
Yeah.
You know,
and not even they, Brad Pitt.
Let's just get real.
Brad.
Correct.
Brad saves the world.
Brad saves the world.
Cheers, Brad. It is movie review date night, so
that's
cheers.
True.
So cheers to Brad. Thanks for saving the world.
But, and again, in the movie, this character is fashioned, the Brad Pitt character, but in the book, this person does not exist, who Brad Pitt portrays. Max Brooks basically fictionalizes himself as a UN kind of reporter and investigator, the commission that's following all the stats, the figures, everything that's after the war, 10 years after the fact. And supposedly with these notes, he turns this into this oral history. So again, the idea is that everything in the book is true, based on real people, real battles, notably the Battle of Yonkers. Shout out to that. Most people really like that part of the book, even though it's completely horrifying. For people who haven't read the book, it will bring you face to face with the concept of American exceptionalism, and it'll get you right between the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've talked a bit about that concept as it relates also to the film, this idea that a country, in particular the U.S., and we're seeing this unfold now, believes itself to be far and wide capable and entitled,
correct.
I think, to distill it. And that has not served us.
No,
well.
No. In the movie, there's this idea that America is invincible, that an American will ultimately save the day. In the book, that idea that Americans are invincible, again, is absolutely knocked sideways. And it shows the actual deep, deep flaws, the book does, that exist in American society. from all aspects, from our lack of universal health care mm-hmm. to lack of education. It's pretty intense. And again, the people that end up being considered essential versus expendable, mm-hmm. all of a sudden in this zombie-infested world, the people that can build something with their own two hands, somebody that can repair a 10-year-old dishwasher, that person is very, very highly regarded in this society. And say someone who's, a marketing consultant who doesn't really quite do things, who doesn't produce anything, who only knows mm-hmm. how to draw up a paper.
How to build, a client base.
How to build a client base, yeah.
But if they're all wiped out by zombies, then, you know.
But this person maybe can't even fold their own laundry. They don't mm-hmm. even wash their own laundry. They send mm-hmm. it out. So mm-hmm. that person is considered very, very low on the reworked world order mm-hmm. 20 years after the fact. And that person's being retrained to work on a farm. They're learning how to build a bench, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, because that's the stuff that is needed in the world after the zombies.
And essentially, I think we probably would agree that the film is a short-term fix for whatever needs we might have to explore these issues in the way that have been explored through that Hollywood lens
Correct.
And machine.
Correct.
And we can guarantee our listeners that they'll find a lot of familiar tropes.
Absolutely.
It sounds to me like the book offers a much deeper exploration and much more interest. So if folks have the patience and wherewithal to actually be reading books, which I think is a big deal right now.
It is. The movie's a good intro to scratch the surface of how do you think a government would react to a serious worldwide pandemic, which is what's happening now. Mm-hmm. The book will take you deeper and much more along that line of thinking than you ever thought possible. Mm-hmm. The book, for anyone who's curious, is a pretty gratifying read. I will warn you, it is horrifying, especially given what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And watching this sort of slipshod patchwork responses worldwide.
Mm-hmm. And that seems to be part of the lure of the book as well, is that it's not U.S. centric. I mean, essentially, World War Z, its beginnings in Philadelphia, and
Correct.
Then they proceed to travel and engage with folks from other countries. But essentially, it's not a very, it doesn't have a global sensibility.
Not that way, because the central character is always the Brad Pitt character, and given that he's an American, that focus is squarely on the interests of Americans, so to speak. The book takes place all over. People are interviewed all over the world from what's left of Russia, which is, I think, called the Holy Russian Empire, China, Barbados, cities flung all across what's left of the United States, an astronaut that was up on the space station but now is back on Earth, Antarctica. So the book really is this global view of the survivors, mm-hmm. whether they be ragtag survivors on the edge of some disputed territory right now, or whatever might actually be left in France, which is scary, North Korea, which is also scary. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's very tempting to give things away in the book, but really, for people who are halfway into any kind of political talk, or for people who are into history, absolutely take mm-hmm. a look.
Mm-hmm. Victoria Saucedo and Denise Morris, that's me. We're here sort of reviewing World War Z, the movie and the book. This has been our second in a series of dystopic endeavors. It's been a great movie review date night,
Absolutely.
Victoria. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah. Cheers to that.
Cheers.